Hey, thank you, team. Good job. Yeah. Leslie, you guys just did great. You just duet this morning. I was trying to tell you before we walked in here, you guys were wonderful this morning. Amen. You blessed my soul today. You really did. Well, take your Bible and go to Acts 6. And these are at the end of the pew. It's the deacon form. And you see our active deacons that are on the front of it, from John Allen Ball down to Jeremy Wyatt. And those two lists, those 60 men, we keep 60 active. They're 20 on, 20 off each year. And so 20 of these men will be rotating off, take 1 year respite, and we'll elect 20 more. And that'll come up a little later in the year. And I thought I'd just talk about deacons tonight. You'll see on the back there are two Bible passages, one of which we're going to look at tonight. 1 Timothy 3 speaks specifically to the diakoneo, and you see listed through there the interpretation of that text and qualifications for a gentleman to serve. And then in Acts 6, 1 through 7, and I'm going to read the first four verses tonight. In Acts 6, I want you to see qualifications set forth there. While we don't find explicitly that word deacon here, this is one of the jumping off passages where we find the role of deacon set forth in Acts 6, beginning in verse number 1 and reading through verse number 4. So you follow along. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against their native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now notice in verse number 2, the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples. When you speak of the 12, do not call them the 12 disciples. They are disciples, but they are the 12 apostles. They are the ones selected of Christ, and they were around him, the 12. And they spoke to the congregation of the disciples. Let me tell you, if you're in the church, you're supposed to be a disciple. Amen? That means a learner, a follower, one that's progressing in your faith. But out of the church, Jesus had selected the apostles, the 12, and these 12 led the church. There was this group of, we call them elders or pastors, in the life of the church, and they were leading. And so they brought together, because in the daily administration of serving people, there arose a complaint. Can you believe it? In the church, somebody complaining. There was a difficulty. God help us. Well, nothing's changed. Amen? As long as you get 3 people together, you got 4 opinions. That's what we got. And people were at odds. And so they said, we don't need to come away from our time of intercession and study of the word and proclamation of the word, but we need some people to wait on these tables. And so they chose from among them these 7. Now I want to give you just 6 words that I just pull out of this text as we think about deacons. And you ought to pray for the men that serve in this church as deacons. You ought to encourage them. You ought to write their names down every time we have opportunity to select these. You'll notice that they summoned them and they told them that you should select. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to select 7. We're going to select 20. And as we select them, you choose them. You make a judgment about them. So you say yes, yes, or no, and no. Well, I want to show you 6 things here. Number 1 is the word team, team. He said select 7. Bring them together. That's a perfect number. But they worked in tandem. Now listen to me. Deacons must be team members. They got to come together as a group and as a unit. When we get ready to do the budget every year, we have the staff comes together, puts that together. We have a finance team, and they come, put that together. And then when we get ready to bring it to the church, everybody to vote and say amen, we take that to the deacons and let the deacons discuss our budget target, and we get ready for that. Whenever we got ready to do Warrington, we took that to our deacon fellowship, and we discussed all of that. And the team comes together. Now listen, you'll hear this. If you've ever been in a deacon's meeting in this church in your life, this is what we always say. Listen, gentlemen, we'll dialogue in here. We'll get ready to take something to the church. We get ready to do ministry. And some of you are not going to agree with what goes on in this room, and you're going to say, think we ought to do something else. But listen, when we walk out that door, we're going to walk out as one. We say that all the time. Not everybody gets their way. Not everybody even agrees, but we agree to agree when we walk out. And we're not going to be running around like Absalom and saying, well, you know, I really didn't agree with all of that. If you can't say something good, we tell our deacons, keep your mouth shut. There have been times when we had division, a time or two, that we just decided, we're not going to bring that forward. Well, it's not wise to do it. I can't remember the time when we've not been unanimous. Sure, it's happened, but it's just been years and years and years. You see, team is very important. Unity of this church is important. Deacons have that about them. Select seven and bring them together. Unified. One. We're one in the bond of Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one fellowship. And we're to be one. There's one team. So the word team comes out of these seven. Secondly, it is the word reputation. Reputation. Now, notice it. He said to select from among you seven men of good reputation. Deacons ought to be men of good reputation. They ought to have a testimony. They ought to have a testimony of their faith, their finances, and their fidelity, their faithfulness to the things of God. A deacon needs to be a man with a reputation that when you look at him, he knows that he knows, and you know that he knows that he knows Jesus. A saved man. He's got a testimony about his faith. Secondly, he's got a good testimony about his finance. You'll see on here, we require men to be a tither, to commit, to say that I'll be a tithe and give a tithe and beyond in our church. That they're, but not just that they're faithful givers, but that they use their money in a faithful way. And then their faithfulness, their fidelity, that their testimony, their reputation is good. Now, we don't have any perfect deacons, no more than we got any perfect staff members. But you're to have a reputation of being above reproach. So that when somebody says, that old boy's a deacon over at, oh, look at that sorry dog. No, no. That's not the testimony you want. You want that team member to have a rep. Everybody in this room's got a reputation, amen? Whenever you walk around the corner, people think something. And when a deacon walks around the corner, they ought to think Christ-like, godly man, faithful man, men of a good reputation. Thirdly, full of the Spirit. Now I'm going to tell you what I believe kills the local church more than anything is good men. Now here's what I mean by that. Friend, being good's not good enough. Having a reputation of faithfulness is not enough. There must be a Spirit-filled testimony of your life. There must be this John 15. He's the vine, we're the branches. That we are in Him and He is in us. That a deacon is a man not only that's a part of the team, not only is a man that is of a good reputation, but a man who has a testimony that he's filled with the Spirit of God. I was over at David Mill. Did I see David back there? I was at David. Yeah, David. I was over there. They invited me to their home the other night. We had a great time. It was late. I talked to her this morning going out of church. I put my arm around. I said, "You paint anything while I was preaching today?" And she laughed. A marvelous, I didn't even know she's in his church, marvelous lady. She's an artist, I mean phenomenal, with oil painting. And she had painted these picture of the fruit of the Spirit. It was really incredible, moving. So if you're full of the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit's in your life. So some deacon stand up and give me the 9 fruits of the Spirit.
Joy, peace, meekness, kindness, temperance, long-suffering, and one more. I got them all.
No, you got one more to go. Say, somebody help him. We don't want a short-arm deacon right here now. Self-control. His wife said, "No wonder he forgot to." No, I said it. Thank you, Brother Jerry, having courage to step out there. Galatians 5, 22-23, you need those 9, and I'm telling you, not perfect men, but it's the Spirit life. Begins with love, joy, peace. What he said. It's the Spirit life, amen? And self-control is very important. So a deacon ought to be a man that's a team member. Secondly, he's got a reputation, a good reputation about his faith and his finance and his fidelity. Thirdly, he's a Spirit-filled man. John 15, man, the Spirit of Jesus is in him and through him. Be ye filled with the Spirit. It's the command, the exhortation of the Apostle Paul, the book of Ephesians, to be plaruo, fill, plethora, top of your head, bottom of your feet. That you're full all over. The Spirit of God is in you. Number 4 is the word wisdom. Wisdom. Oh, yeah. Good reputation, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. Wisdom. Now, most years, doesn't happen every year, but most years, when we elect these 20 men, there'll be 1, 2, 3, maybe 4. We have had as many as 5 out of the 20. That have never been a deacon before in a church and here or anywhere, and so we ordain those men. And when we ordain those men, then I ask them questions in our presbytery time and ask them about their faith and several things about their life. And then the men are able to just give testimony to those men and encouragement. And one of the things that we had used for a long time, and then Dr. Steve Davis, who works at the North American Mission Board, who's a member now of our church, he and Miss Diana, if you don't know them, they are phenomenal people. Longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. Then the executive director of the state of Indiana, like John Sullivan, Tommy Green in Florida, he was in Indiana. And now having worked at the North American Mission Board, when I knew he was then going to be the vice president for the southern region of NAM, I saw him and I said to him one day, I said, "Steve, you ought to move to Pensacola." I said, "You have from Virginia to Texas, and right in the middle of all that's Pensacola. You ought to move to Pensacola." And about a month later, he called me. He said, "Can you get me a realtor?" I said, "For what?" He said, "I'm moving to Pensacola." I said, "No, you're not going to move." He said, "Oh, no, it doesn't have anything to do with you, Pastor." He said, "I'm going to come join your church, but my son has moved there and my grandson is there, and so we can live anywhere we want to, so we're going to move to Pensacola, Florida." I said, "See, I'm a prophet. I told you that's what you ought to do." Well, they moved here and a part of our church, and they're here every Sunday there in town, and just great people. And we had Steve speak to our deacons, and he literally showed us what we had said. We used this illustration, but he brought these 2 buckets. This is the wisdom illustration of deacons. One bucket, we tell every deacon, you got a bucket in each hand. One bucket's full of water, one bucket's full of gasoline. You find a bad fire, you pour what on it? Water. You find a good fire, you pour gasoline on it. You got to have wisdom to know when you come to good fire and bad fire, because the church is on fire. And it's either got the fire of Pentecost or the fire of the devil. When you come to find hellfire in the church, you ought to pour water on that. You got to deal with that. You find heaven's fire, you pour gas on that. Fan the flame to see the spark of revival. How do you know the difference? Wisdom. It's the wisdom that God's men need in the church. That's what a deacon is supposed to do. He's a team member. He's got a good reputation. Spirit filled. Wisdom. The fifth word is the word task. Task or service. Notice what he said in verse 3, therefore select from among you seven men, that's the team, good reputation, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. Now the task they were talking about was waiting tables. Not only waiting tables, but there was a task where the complaint was there and somebody was not doing the job right because it was causing division rather than unity, and they're saying to these men, your task is to both bring unity and solve the service problem. One of the things our deacons do, out of the 20, we have four that are on call every week. Those on call deacons are not in this room right now because they're working the parking lots, what they do on Sunday night. Those four that are on call also work in the preschool on Sundays. We do that, and we also send one of them down with John. They go down. We send now a deacon down to Warrington, a deacon that's on call, and they go down there and help out in that regard. They also, if you come on Wednesday night supper, they serve with an apron on. They literally serve tables on Wednesday night and take care of and helping out in all of that. And then they also come every Sunday morning, those four men, most of the time just three because one of them gone to Warrington, but sometimes four. This morning, there'll be three of those men that will come and pray over me. I sit in my office or get on my knees and they come on their knees and lay their hands on me. And I'm telling you, it is the golden moment of my week when those three men come and pray over me. One of them this morning called, whatever they want to pray about. But this morning they prayed for Liz a lot. I don't tell them what to pray about. They just prayed for they just prayed for my wife today a lot. They'll pray for my children. They'll pray for anointing, pray for wisdom. Every now and then they'll say, Pastor, anything we can pray for you about? And I sometimes share, but most often just out of their heart, they just pray for the pastor. Now I'm telling you, it's one of the golden moments of my week. I look forward to it every Sunday morning. Staff meet at 7:30 and 7:45. I go and those three men come lay their hands on me. You see, the word deacon is diakoneo. It means to serve, whether it's in the parking lot, whether it's serving, laying hands on the pastor, whether or not it's in the preschool or on Wednesday night, or whether it's with widows. You know, the last time I counted, Kim, I'm not sure what the number is now, but the last time I looked, we had 297 widows in our church, 297. Our deacons look after that, and they have a group of widows that help as a core team with them and help us know how to do whatever it is we need to do. They have a banquet for them every year and try to minister to them. Many of them, they're very self-sufficient. Others have needs from time to time. We try to meet those needs. Deacons serve. That's what they do. They are servants. They're on a team. They have a reputation. It's good. They're spirit-filled. They have wisdom. They have a task of serving. But then the last word is the word pastor. Now, don't miss this. He says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The deacon and the pastor, those are the only two church offices you'll find in the New Testament. There'll be other words for it, sometimes called the elder, as the pastor, the presbyteros, there's different words for it, but the two offices in the local church is the deacon and the pastor, and they come together. In our church, Brother John serves alongside of me. He's one of our pastors. Brother Stan, Sean, I see in here, John, and they serve in pastoral function, and so we have a plurality of pastors or elders in the church. And then alongside of the pastor function, we have these deacons. And so these two come together. They have different functions, but they are together. Unity. Since I've been here, we've only had maybe three that I can recall meetings of somewhat contention with pastors and deacons. I think that's pretty good for that many years. The one I remember is the Sunday afternoon meeting. Many of you were here, and you were waiting on us, and we were having a meeting. We were going to call Leo Day to be the minister of music. He had been here September, October, November, December, and he went off, and then he came back after his Cayman Islands, where he went every Christmas because his wife was from there, and we had decided to call him, and we shared that with the deacons that night, and we met, and we met, and we met, and we met. We met some more. You just sat in here and you prayed and you sang and had church and waited. Everybody stayed. I mean, if I remember, just hardly anybody leave. They were waiting on that because I thought we was going to just have our meeting. But we had a couple of guys. They kept asking this question. Are we ready for this? Are we ready for this? Are we ready for what? Well, you know what I mean. Are we ready for this? And we'd talk around it. You know how you do when you don't want to deal with something. You just talk around it. That's what we did. We talked around it. And we talked around it. And we talked around it. And we talked. The man I thought was on a merry-go-round. We was there an hour and a half. And finally, when we said yes and walked in the church, said glory to God, amen. And Leo was with us 7 years. Was that a bad meeting? No, it was not a bad meeting. Not at all was it a bad meeting. It was very good because men brought issue before God and prayed through, making sure we were doing the right thing. That's what pastors and deacons do. They're here to be together, but to cry out for wisdom and say, Pastor, is that the smartest thing we could do? You got to discern that. And discern it we did. It proved to be the right thing. You know, we lost three families immediately, left the church when Leo became the minister of music. One of them was gone 6 weeks and came back. Came up to me, shook my hands, preacher, I was wrong as rain. I'm sorry. I just wasn't right. Forgive me. Can I come home? I said, yeah, you can come home. I said, you're 6 weeks behind on giving, but I did. I said that. But we had a great relationship. See, that's what pastors and deacons do. See, you got that form? Look down at the bottom. The last thing it says, will work cooperatively with the pastor in seeking to minister to those in spiritual or material need, to keep down discontent and murmurings, and to extend the ministry of the church. That's point six. It's what they do. They don't do it by themselves, don't do it by myself, we do it together. Deacons come with the pastor in cooperation, and we seek to minister to the needs as we find them in the local church called Olive. I just want to go on record. I've said it all over America. People ask me, what's the key to what goes on at your church? And I tell them every time, godly men. I love every one of the ladies that serve in our church, and they do a phenomenal. Let me tell you, what makes this place go are the godly men. Sets it apart. Thank God for the ladies that come along. Don't hear me say anything. Man, if all the ladies quit tomorrow, we have to shut down. We would. It's not either or. But I'm telling you, if it becomes female dominant, you'll never reach your community. And men really are a driving factor. Not just deacons. I'm talking about every man. You don't have to be a deacon to serve in this church. Matter of fact, if you become active as a deacon, you're not going to change very much because you're already so active. Well, you ain't got much more time to do anything. There'd be three or four things we'll ask you to do, but usually you're already involved in doing it. That's what the life of the church is to be. It is a servant's role, a servant's role. I remember my first deacon's meeting. Now, let me tell you, I was one scared young'un because Mr. Leonard Martin was the chairman. He was 6'6 and 60-something years old, and I was 36. I was 25. I was in my first little church out north of Birmingham. He sat right here on the front row. I've shared y'all this story before. He sat right here every Sunday. And when they'd take the offering, they'd get done and they'd bring it to him and he'd count it while I start preaching. That's how they did it. They'd been doing it that way for 50 years. And it all went fine until he'd get right to the end and then he'd have change in one plate and he'd pour it in that other plate. And it was a metal plate. And everybody in there would look, clangity, 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 clang. And I remember, I don't know where, I guess I learned this from my mother and dad working in a grocery store. We came to our first deacon's meeting. Brother Martin, Brother Leonard, I love that man. He loved me. I tell you, he fought for me. He said, Pastor, how's it going? I said, well, I'm doing pretty good. He says, anything we can do for you? I said, well, I have a request. I said, do we have to count the offering during preaching? He said, well, I don't reckon we have to. We just have always. He said, does that bother you? I said, well, it does when you pour the money and it makes a noise, and if there was any other way we could do that, that'd be good. He said, we'll wait till after church and do it. There's no need to. I didn't have any idea that that was a problem. He said, Pastor, I'm here to serve with you, and I'm for you, and if you'll just let me know how I can help, I'm here to help you. What a deacon. His daddy had sat there for 40 years before he sat there. I met his daddy was 93 when I came to the church, and he came about four times. He's about to die. He used to sit over by the side door, and he would chew tobacco and spit while I'd preach. He had a spittoon. Rarely did he hit it. He was an old man, and they had a cloth underneath it. He'd chew and two or three times while I was preaching, he'd spit. At New Lebanon Baptist Church. He died, and Leonard stepped into his place. I don't know if he ever chewed tobacco in church, but old Mr. Martin did. And I talked to Leonard. I never would ask Mr. Martin to quit spitting. I guarantee you I didn't have guts enough to do that. He could ruin me immediately if he'd wanted to. I'm just telling you, there's all kind of preachers and there's all kind of deacons, but there's one God, and the Spirit of God wants to put those people together. And let me tell you, Olive Church, those of you here tonight, you ought to be grateful to God for the 120 plus years of this church, that there's never been a major rift in the body life of this church. There's never been. There's been an argument and fiddling around and things we shouldn't. I understand that. It's not a perfect place, but I'm telling you, it's been a unified body, and most of that goes back to Brother Jerry Passmore and Brother Jeff Russo and deacons that set a foundation that brought this church together to be what God wanted it to be. Amen. And we can never be anything other than that. We cannot live in the past. We look to the past with rejoicing, but we live in the future with vision to go where God wants us to go. Amen. That is what we are to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord for deacons on a team with a good reputation, full of the Spirit of God and wisdom, doing the work alongside the pastor that God's called them to do.